The book of Luke, chapter 6. You have the list there, right?
I do.
Okay. Now, last week, we talked about being persuaded and living as though we're persuaded, being persuaded in Christ, and being people that aren't filled with fear. Because when we're persuaded of something, then the fear doesn't have quite the hold. When we're persuaded that God is living in us and working in us and through us, then the man fear and other types of fear, what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen to my family, what's going to happen to this country, or whatever you want to talk about. Fear can really enter in quite a bit, and like Reggie was saying, we've talked about this at length over many, many different Sundays. And fear is a real big problem for everybody. No matter how much you want to feel like you're not, fears control us to a degree that we need to be getting away from. Would you agree?
Yes.
It's important. I think a lot of the man fear is we're persuaded about some things, but we're not persuaded about other things. We're persuaded that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We're persuaded that He is living in us, and yet we're not persuaded that He is going to live through us. Or that when we step out, that it's really us, when it really is the Lord moving in us and through us. Because the things that we do that are of God. They're not us, right? When we step out to do those things that God wants us to do, it's God moving us, and therefore it's God's grace, it's His empowering that allows us to do it. But we choose to allow that to happen, don't we?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'm going to want some real good response. and as many times as I've said it, why do I want you to use your body, a depth of response? Why would I want you to do that? Because I want to feel better?
No.
Well, yeah, that might be something. No. No. What would be the reason?
To be fully engaged.
Body, soul, and spirit. I think that we don't realize, sometimes there's something to try to keep us closed off, quiet, when what we need to do is embrace the message. Whatever's of me, reject. But when you sense in your spirit that it's the Lord, there's a witness in your spirit that this is God speaking to me right now, and I need to take a hold of it, then you want to embrace it. It doesn't come. Do you think you are getting anything if you're there? No. You're to separate the precious from the vile. Take what you sense in your spirit is of God, and if something that I'm not sure about what he's saying there, then put it off to the side. Nothing's getting crammed down your throat. I can be persuaded about certain things, and I'm going to say it with the persuasion that I have. But I'm not trying to cram anything in your brain or in your heart. I want the Holy Spirit to convict you where you need to be convicted.
Amen.
for you to learn of him where you need to learn of him greater. Dan, you want to say something?
Yes, I do. Because my thing that was telling me was to read this in this devotion, okay? And what Malcolm is saying is so true. But for me, sometimes it's doubt. It's that confusion, okay?
Yeah.
And you know what I was going to read? Is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? That's what I was going to read. Okay? And but it's, I was confused. I wasn't sure. Okay? But I was supposed to get up and pray for Malcolm. Another thing that I was supposed to say before I did that was, we should all think about what we just done in the last few days. As far as like what that verse is saying. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? What have I done? What have you done? Just in the last couple of days. I mean, if you really want to get technical, let's go back just to this morning.
Right.
And think of some of the things that we've done.
Exactly.
And I bet you we could all probably name one. So, I'm going to pray now. I'm going to be obedient. I know now that I was supposed to do this.
Yep.
So, Lord, as Malcolm brings this word to us, Father, I pray that we take it to heart. God, I pray that our minds are completely open to this. This is not just something that's being said by Malcolm. It's something being said through Malcolm by your word. And the evidence is here.
Yeah.
So God, I just pray that we just completely open our hearts and our mind to this and take this in. And then God, put it into action.
Yeah.
Put it into action for the glory of God.
For the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm sorry I didn't do it first, guys.
That's right. I want to say, and I don't want to be patting ourselves too much on the back, because then God needs to, make sure that we don't get too. But what is true is true, and I think this is important about this assembly of people. That we continue to be people that are not afraid to speak up. We don't have a person's going to lead in a message, but people, you, some of the new people here, you can add in too. Just know that this is not a formal kind of thing that way. We're looking for the Spirit of God as He moves through a many membered body of Christ, that the Lord's going to be glorified and lifted up as every drink supplies.
Amen.
Or as many as, hearing and then doing, right? And I think that's really, really important thing. So I'm going to read this. One thing that was very clear to me as I was seeking the Lord this week was this particular scripture. It popped up. When you read the scriptures, sometimes you can read chapter upon chapter and nothing jumps out at you. But then there's other times where one verse, maybe one word, maybe several verses, kind of just jumps out at you. When that happens, what do you think is going on? So somebody said, God is speaking something. There's something, because if you've been born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, and there's something where the Spirit of God is witnessing to your spirit something.
That's a rhema word.
And that's a rhema word. That's the rhema word. That's the word for right now. Everything in here is God's word. But there's something about His word specifically for you and I now that is going to witness. And it might be something different for you than for somebody else. There might be some other scripture here that'll jump out at you. cookie cutter thing. We're not trying to make everybody conform to think the same way and act the same way and do the same things. We all have different abilities, skills, anointings, ministry. It's different, and so the emphasis might be in different places, but it's the same Lord and it's the same Spirit, right? So it's, I think that's important for us. So when we read here
in Luke,
he says, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say?" Now, one thing is really so beautiful and wonderful about Jesus. He accepts us where we are. When we come to Christ, he accepts you in the condition you're in. He says, you don't got to clean yourself up before you come and recognize that I've died for your sins and that you can have life in me. I'll take you just the way you are.
Amen?
Amen.
Come as you are.
I mean, you know, the song, I mean, that was just a wild, this is so much. You know, this is what happens. And this is when you can tell that you're listening to what God wants to say through funny-looking people. You know, there's confirmation. I didn't call Dan and say, Dan, I'd like for you to pray for me. And this is the, and these are the scriptures. And Dan went, oh, okay. And he looked, no. God spoke to Dan that scripture. And the same Lord spoke to me this week. Probably not on the same day. Or maybe on the same day. But something happened where God wanted you and me and Dan and everybody here to know that maybe you and I need to listen. Because maybe this isn't Malcolm's words. Maybe it's coming from the Spirit of God. And that's the only words I want to hear. And I know that's the only words you want to hear.
Yes.
You don't want to hear people's opinions. You want the truth. You want to hear God and you want to be obedient to it. Amen?
Yes.
Alright, so now he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I said? Just like what was said earlier about, you know, being a Savior, but we wanted to be our Lord. People can say things. We can call him Lord, but are we doing the things he's telling us to do? That's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? This isn't conceptual Christianity in this place. We're talking about a real walk with the real God. Aren't we? We're not playing church. We're not looking for some religious form. We're looking to have Jesus, the person, the one that died for the sins of the world, was resurrected, ascended up into heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father, and is waiting for the Father to say, go back and get these guys. That Jesus, that same Jesus that went up into heaven, that same Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
And that's that same Jesus that we're going to look at face to face. And that same Jesus that we want to please, that when we say, Lord, Lord, we hope that we're meaning it. Because, you know, when you get with groups and you learn the lingo and you learn the way you're supposed to act, it can really end up being more of a surface thing. Yeah? And, you know, when you first come to Christ, it's usually kind of deep and wonderful, and you understand certain things, and the more you go, certain things become commonplace, become familiar, and then praise the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Praise Jesus. And you can say that, and I said it, you know, and I've said it, but the depth of the meaning, the beauty of those words themselves, themselves can get lost sometimes. And it takes something for us to not become enamored with the very person and beauty of the Spirit of God that we are so blessed to be a part of. Isn't that great?
Yes.
So he says, I will get to the next verse. So, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and what? Does them, I will show you who he's like. This is a person who is coming to Christ, reads the Word of God, hears people talking to them, and senses Jesus speaking to them through that person, and they go, you know what? They're right. Maybe I do need to change here. Maybe I'm missing something here. And so you want, and you're obedient. Jesus is your King. Jesus is your Lord. It's not just words. That's the problem with the church at large. We're inured to the power that's in those words. Lord, my King, is he? Or is it just a phrase? Yeah? And he says here, in verse 48, this is the person that actually does the things that they hear me say. He is like a man that built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the floods of life, all the things that happen in life, right? All the disappointments, they're talking about negative things here, right? All the things that can overwhelm you. You can think of a whole bunch of stuff, I'm sure. When the floods arose and the streams beat vehemently against the house. Sometimes we have little problems, sometimes we have big problems, don't we? That affect us right into our core. That vehemently can come against us sometimes. But it could not shake it. Oh, isn't that the kind of people we want to be? Oh, yeah. Whatever God says, whatever's going on in the world, he's going to allow the world to be shaken. And God said he's going to let that happen. So that the things that can't be shaken will remain. There's all kinds of things going on, isn't there? Like you said. We want to be people that aren't going to be shaken. Would you rather be shaken? Would you rather be afraid? Would you rather give up? Or do you want to be victorious? Do you want to have courage? We go through things, don't we? And the person that hears the words and listens and does what he says. There's all kinds of teachings in here, isn't there? About the way we should live. The righteousness that we should seek after. And I think sometimes we think we already know what's in here and there's not much more we need to know. We have a surface knowledge of what the kingdom of God is. We have a surface knowledge of what righteousness means. We have a surface knowledge of who Jesus is. There's a lot more to learn. A lot more to hear from the Lord and therefore be obedient with and seek after and search for.
But, like you say, a word jumping out when it's reading that scripture is that when a flood arose. It does say if a flood arose.
When? Because it does. It happens to all of us, doesn't it? Every single person in here. You've had things come at you that looks like it's going to overwhelm you, and if we didn't have Jesus, if we didn't reach back and hold on to Jesus, we would have been overwhelmed.
Yeah. Something that's popping in my head is there's also things that come against us every day that we just don't even realize.
Yeah.
And they may seem little to us, but that God, you know what I mean, wants to touch on all those things.
Yes.
You know, when you read about storms, you read about floods, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm not dealing with a major thing, but yet I'm at the racetrack dealing with an anxiety and a fear. That's a major thing. And
yeah.
For me,
yes.
You know, it didn't feel major. Well, it did. But
yeah.
There's some that don't feel so major,
right.
But there's still the things that God wants to heal, the things that we still need to...
Yeah, yeah. Small things, big things. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. All right, let me read you something out of Matthew chapter 15, two verses 8 and 9. See, it's real easy for us. We need all of that wonderful input about the love of God, about who He is and what He's done for us. But it isn't really just for us. I'll expand on this a little bit. Here's what it says in verses 8 and 9 of Matthew 15. This people draw close to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. We were just talking about that. But their heart is far from me. Oh, so it can happen. We can name the name of Jesus, even. That powerful name, that wonderful person who died for our sins. We can name His name, but our heart could still be far from Him. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now I want to say, there's a lot of things that are taught in the church that are the doctrines of men. This is man's view of things. And we have to be careful that we don't fall into that, because it seems to me that Jesus says, you're not worshiping me if you're following the doctrines of men. So we always have to be on guard about that, don't we?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I want you to go to the book of Jude right now. That's the second to the last book in the Bible.
When we became a Christian, we became born again when the grace of God, mixing with our faith, our belief that He is the one that died for our sins, right? That we're not going to earn our way into heaven. That this is a gift from God, right? This is a beautiful, beautiful thing. This is what creates our faith, doesn't it? It's that trust in Jesus. It's that belief in the atoning work of Christ. And then faith is supposed to grow, isn't it? When we're not listening to any further input from the Spirit of God, from the Spirit of Jesus, then can our faith grow? Because how has faith come?
By hearing,
and hearing by
the Word of God.
Faith comes by hearing. We have to be listening. We have that. This book has to mean a lot to us. Has to mean more than really anything. Because in this book is life when we receive it from the Spirit of God. How many of you believe that this book is the Word of God? You believe that? You believe that, don't you? That's one thing that the Spirit does when He enters you. He says, here's the truth, and this truth will set you free. Right? So He says here in Jude chapter 1, verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you about our common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
What does the word contend mean?
Fight.
Fight. Fight for this faith. Because you know what? All kinds of stuff it comes against us to rob us. Isn't that right? All kinds of things have been going on in the last few weeks. Trying to rob us. And we need to contend for the faith. Does that mean it's easy?
No.
No. You know what we like, and it's good. See, we get washed in the Lord's love and His compassion, and we find consolation with who He is and His love for us. But we've got to remember that all of that, as we take that in, is for us to remember that as a foundation for us to grow in our faith. Grow in our faith. And we have to contend for that faith. Because things are going to come against us.
Like Glenn said, not if, when. Right? So, I want you to go now to James chapter 1.
And this is the encouragement, I think, that the Lord wants to say for us, and that is, which has already come out, verse 22 and 23, but be doers of the word and not just hearers only. What happens when you're a hearer of the word but you don't do it? What's it say? We deceive ourselves. Oh, I go to church. I listen to things. Is hearing God going to do what is going to be the good thing in us? No, we have to be a doer of the word. We have to be a doer of the word. Now,
I wrote down some things I want to just see.
What happens if, you know, the Lord tells us that when in all things that we should pray, right? What happens? What's going on when you're not praying? What?
Worry.
Worry. What else? What else comes in if you're not? We need to see. I've got to be a doer. I've got to do this. I can't just know that I'm supposed to pray, but then something comes along and I don't pray. Well, you know what does happen to me when I'm not praying? I seem to get worse. I worry. I get what? Fearful?
Anxious.
All those are about the same kind of idea. I just want to just make some comparisons. What happens when we should be? The enemy is involved with something. It isn't just a consequence of my own stupid choice, but it's the enemy that's trying to come into my life. If I am not taking authority in the Spirit, because Jesus tells us that we have authority over the demons, right? If I don't do that, what's going to happen? What happens to you?
You give them the authority.
You're giving them the authority, okay. Anything else that you can think?
Insanity.
You can cross to insanity, sure. When things are going on, do you get to a place of anger or frustration because things aren't going the way you want? Yeah. You know what? When you're praying your way through that, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect in all of this kind of stuff, but we need to recognize when these things are going on, because when we notice that, when I notice that I'm getting more and more frustrated with the situation, don't even want to even give me any examples either, too embarrassed about it. Wait a minute. I'm not praying here. I'm not praying enough because I'm all caught up in it. Steve, you want to say something?
I was just going to say that the ITC Stallings was a star running back for the University of Louisville. And he had drafted to play 6 years in the NFL. And things were going very well for him. And he confessed Christ as his Lord and Savior. But he realized that football was his Lord. And he gave up a six-figure salary to go to Hollywood and be homeless and get, well, eventually he got a call from the guys that do Facing the Giants and all that. Yeah. And they got him to do that role in the war room. But that was a scripture he quoted, and he also quoted Matthew 7:21-23.
Read.
Can we read it? It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You probably had that next, right? But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on this day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evil ones. I guess it's a little heavy.
That gets a weight on you.
Yeah.
You see, this is serious business. We're not playing around here. These are things we need to think about. We need to pray about. We need to be people that are actually doing and not just hearing. Right?
Yes.
So when the Lord tells us, because I mean, those are His commandments, right? In all things you should be praying. Well, that's a commandment from the Lord. We should be doing that. If we're not, well, I hope we're not going to be people that are the ones that when the floods come and all of that, we get wiped out. Because that was the next verse that I didn't read. But isn't that what happens? If you're not fearing God, what's going on? Yeah, there's other fears that are going to grab a hold of you, right? Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
I was just going to say, you're not going to be very wise.
Not going to be too wise. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Having the wise application of knowledge and how to approach things and be able to see and understand life, situations, and be able to know how to respond to it. Right? If you don't fear God above your ability to think things through, things are going to fall apart at some point. How about, let's see, if you don't trust God, what happens? Yeah? Things are going to fall apart. But give me an example. If you're not trusting God.
I look at myself as not being Christ-like when I don't trust God, and especially when He has me discipling others, I mean even my family, you know, I'll preach it. Like, they'll hear me on another day be on fire for the Lord, and then they see me not trusting Him, and it's like, oh God, how am I
So there's not a witness there, right? There's not a good witness. Right? Yeah? Anything else?
Miss opportunities for your own growth a lot of times and for others at the same time.
Yeah. The ultimate thing is we know that there's going to be a great apostasy, a great falling away from the faith. If you don't trust God and you don't trust His Word, at some point in time you're going to be dealt with something that you're going to walk away from God. You and I don't want to be in that position, do we? So that's important for us to keep in mind. This is what we're like. Come on. You know, this whole thing that being washed in the blood of the Lamb and to experience all of that, all of those wonderful things, really, and there's nothing wrong with that because we need that. But I said a little bit earlier, what that is needed for is so that we can be in a strong place to minister to others. It's not just for us, is it? The Lord tells us. So this is a command, all right? And if we're people that want to listen to the Lord's command, He says, go out and make disciples of all the nations. Can you or me make a disciple of the nations if we're not one ourselves? You don't know where to take them. You don't know what to recognize. You and I want to know, if we're not discipled by God, we can't disciple somebody else. And it's not a formal kind of thing. We go to go through some kind of formal discipleship. No, our talking back and forth with one another. I learn from you. Learning is discipling, isn't it? Teaching and learning. You know, I learn from you and things in the way that I see how you're acting and reacting in life and the things that you say and the scriptures you bring up at certain times. I'm getting blessed and I'm getting fed, and hopefully when you hear something from me or you see something in my character that you appreciate, you're saying, you know, that's right, that's the way it should be, right? There's a discipling that's going on there. I was saying the other night, discipleship is organic. It's something that happens in a natural response kind of way. I think that we can get all messed up as a church by coming up with a discipleship program. I like for discipleship to come organically, come just as it is. You know, one-on-one. That's, to me, and you can disagree with me on that, to me, that's where the real discipleship goes on. One-on-one. One-on-one. And I think this is really important for us. We're blessed by all the wonderful things about Jesus so that we can stand in a bad time in our own lives or in what's going on in the world and be a light. Isn't that funny? And be a light in a dark place. You're not going to be a light in a dark place if what you can say is, I'm going to say this the right way so you don't think I'm being insulting.
Listen.
We won't be offended.
No, and it's not because somebody's going to be offended. It might be. The thing of it is that To bring somebody to Christ isn't just to get them saved. That's not the only intent of Jesus, is it? The intent is, yeah, the first step is to become born again to the Spirit of God and to what Christ has done. But that's not the end of it. And we have to realize that us as an individual Christian talking to people in the world isn't just to get them saved. It's to bring them to discipleship. It's to bring them to a place so that they can help others too. Because there's lots of people, even after they become saved, that couldn't rule and reign with Christ in the thousand-year kingdom with the way their heads are. You think that's just going to... You know, look at the Scripture. The Scripture says those who overcome get to rule and reign. How about that? I think it's important for us to realize these little nuances and things. Because it isn't for us, it's for everybody else. Isn't it?
All right, I'm going to stop on that. I'm going to go back. Can you take 5 more minutes? 5 more? If I give you a deadline, will that?
Can you pull up some energy? Right? You can pull up. You know, it's really great. You know, when I'm someplace, I'm at a teacher's conference or something, and things start to drag a little bit, or my energy level has dropped, and I'm not really listening as well as I should be. And the person says, "Well, I'm going to wrap this up." All of a sudden, boy, I got the energy to see if it wraps up. Because you know, it's only a few more minutes, right?
So I'm going to wrap this up in a few minutes.
You don't believe that, do you? James, chapter 2 now, instead of chapter 1. Just want to point this out. We're going to conclude with this concept for you to think about and mull around in your mind, so that you're asking God through the week, well, how does all this happen? Alright. 2:17. Even so, faith that doesn't have works is dead, being alone. If we're not doing something, and it doesn't have to be something, you know, well, I got to do something for Jesus. No, it's hearing what he says and doing it. Does he say to pray for things? Yeah, you can pray. It doesn't have to be some thing, but, you know, like what Steve said. Steve sensed something about helping those kids out there in Nebraska. He didn't just go, I don't feel like doing that. He put himself aside and he went out and did something. We see things with other people. What, you know, how about husbands helping the wives in the kitchen a little bit more? I thought I was going to touch a sore spot.
Only with you.
Only with you. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Hallelujah. So, this week, let's try to be not just hearers. Oh yeah, that was okay message. You know, it's about faith and faith has works, and we're supposed to listen to Jesus' commandments and actually do them, right? Nice message. I heard it. Now what am I going to do about it? Right? And God will open the doors for you. He will. He'll do that. So Lord, I pray. I did it in 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Hey, can we go back to where you first started with the condition of the heart, with the right heart attitude?
Yeah, well,
do you
yeah.
know this?
Yeah,
it's
because I think Jen said it when she was praying at communion time, which really blessed me, was
I even wrote it down. Wait a minute.
Okay, it had to be from the Spirit, because I don't remember.
Oh, when she said, "We can't thank you enough." Mm-hmm. You know, that is the attitude that we have to have in approaching any of this where works are involved. It's our deep love for God and what He's done already for us that gives us that motivating energy to step out beyond ourselves to do these very things. Yeah.
I'm sure he wasn't thinking, well, I want to do this for you. You know.
He had, you're right.
It was just in him.
That's right. Exactly. It was there. He was prompted by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
If you have faith.
And then you prompt, and then you need to act.
It all messes with efforts.
It happens when you make the choice, right? You understand that? It happens because you make a choice to allow that feeling, that thought to have fruition. You know. So Lord, we take your message today, Lord. Might not know how to apply it right now. Maybe we do, but Lord, I pray that you show us through the week. That this wouldn't just be for this week, but Lord, that it would just become part of the way that we live. And Father, I pray for all of us here that the enemy will not be able to rob this message, that we contend for the faith, we believe, Lord, we look at all the good and positive that you do in our lives. And we stand and trust you when the overwhelming floods come. We want to know what you have to say about our lives and about this world. And we want to be obedient to you in all respects, in all ways. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.